Joella, and you're listening to CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, and the radio show name is called Fantastic Friday. Please come and join us every single Friday morning from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. every Friday morning.
It is lovely indeed. It is lovely indeed. I am the spirit within the earth. The feet of the earth are my feet. The legs of the earth are my legs. The strength of the earth is my strength. The thoughts of the earth are my thoughts. The voice of the earth is my voice. The feather of the earth is my feather. All that belongs to the earth belongs to me. All that surrounds the earth surrounds me. I am the sacred works of the earth. It is lovely indeed. It is lovely indeed.
No, they're not going to let him out. And that's never been their intention. But see, what I really think about that thing is that, see, the government had an operative, not an informant or a snitch, an operative.
This is a whole different story.
Yeah, an informant or a snitch is somebody they grab and they get them to tell on you.
A report. Yeah.
Right. An operative is someone they put amongst you to help direct activities.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Illegal activities.
Yes. And see, I think that the government, that there was a government operative amongst that level of AIM leadership, so to speak, that had access to the AIM leadership. It wasn't necessarily a part of the AIM leadership, but had access to the AIM leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because of this operative, I think this operative is behind the firefight in Oglala, where the agents were killed. Mm-hmm. And I think this operative is behind the murder of Annie Mae Aquash. And the way it appears to me is that the operative manipulated both sides against each other on the firefight thing, all right, as a part of a larger plan. But the plan went wrong and the agents got killed, all right.
Mm-hmm.
Because a plan went bad. And if that with that being the case, is that the government needs a scapegoat. They need somebody to hold, because they can never ever have this come to light. That this would have never happened if it hadn't been for the government operative playing both sides against the middle.
Their machinations,
right.
In it.
Yeah. All right, see, because that means, you know, it's the way the crime laws are written. If this guy did it and somebody was killed, then he's culpable too. See, the government now is playing a role in the killing of their own agents through this operative. See, so I think that's what's at the bottom, underneath all of this.
You know, that's why they'll never give them another trial.
They don't ever want this to come up.
Right.
All right? And I really think that that's what the deal is. So what I find interesting, and you got to be careful because it's fine lines, but all through the years, the Peltier support, defense, all this, say they've only been asking for the government to obey the law, or they've been asking for pity, they've been asking for mercy, they've been asking for things that the government is not known to do. See, so all of the emphasis and energy has been put there. telling the government you're wrong, you're breaking the law. The government knows this. They don't care. We can say about it and cry about it all we want. Practical realities. Mm-hmm. All right.
Hey everyone, I'm Jess Turner. Make sure you listen to Fantastic Fridays on CKUW 95.9 FM every Friday morning, 6 a.m. till 8 a.m. That's way too early for me. Okay, thanks. Bye.
It's the April rose that only grows in the early spring. Love is nature's way of giving a reason to be living. The golden crown that makes a man a king. Once on a high and windy hill, in the morning mist, two lovers kissed, and the world stood still. Then your fingers touched my silent heart and taught it how to sing. Yes, true love's a many splendored thing.
Nat King Cole. Reiterating what is needed in the world now. He described it as love and the things that occur when it's present, not bombing.
Then your fingers touched my silent heart.
Yes, that was Rowena's rendition of Love is a Many Splendid Thing. Stay with it. Al Green, for the good times, if ever there was one, and Will, be one.
Don't look so sad. No, it's over. But life goes on, and this world keeps on turning. Yeah, let's just be glad we had this time to spend together. There is no need to watch the bridges that we're burning. Lay your on my pillow, sweet babe, hold your warm and tender body close to mine. Hear the whisper.
Hi, I'm Julian Cooper. You're listening to Fantastic Friday on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. This is my favorite morning wake-up show.
He in love with glow, never got the cooker, but got my name tatted. Killer word, don't know who he killed, I heard that main ready. Never fool, when it's time to eat, I be his main platter. NYC, New York Fashion Week, Tommy Hill jacket. Tell these hoes to stay dangerous, cause now one of they niggas safe. My niggas say he faithful, I still got a fruit hole just in case. I can't lie, I used to simp so hard, but them my old ways. It's 365 days in the year, come play with me on none of them days. Fucking ass, freaking nigga, don't even wear no condoms. Don't know how to treat a lady. The fuck? I oughta smack your mama. Pussy wet, good ass neck.
That's me.
So I talk how I want. Save a nigga who, bitch? Do I look like fucking Superwoman?
He don't wanna be saved, don't save him. That is not my nigga, don't claim him. By 20 missed calls, he faded. White boy wasted, Channing Tatum.
He don't wanna be kept, don't keep him. He don't want the paper, then bitch, don't keep it. Ho, I don't get left, I'm
real girl
hoes
shit.
Love me like Justin Bieber.
I'm the B-A-D-D-E-S-T. Same hoes hating, used to wanna be besties. You can get your wig turned like Effie. I don't need insurance, cause a bitch can't wreck me. Ready, when I'm coming like Freddy, I'm mother. Hanging on my trick is your daddy. Clock that T, bitch, catch it. You look like a discount meat on Etsy. I'm the female titan, I'm stepping on bitches. I'm showing my titties, I tore up the city. A P-I-M-P, I be whoring these niggas. He run back to me, cause you boring the nigga. Fuck is a layover, I ain't waiting. I get the bag, then I change destination. These niggas be crazy, I don't blame them. I'm a dog too, I don't wanna change them. He don't wanna be saved, don't save him. That is not my nigga, don't claim him. By 20 missed calls, he faded. White boy wasted, Channing Tatum. I don't wanna be saved, don't save me. You for everybody, nigga, don't claim me. Hate a nigga tryna tell me what to do. You ain't my daddy, I'm not your baby. He don't wanna be saved, don't save him. That is not my nigga, don't claim him. By 20 missed calls, he faded. White boy wasted, Channing Tatum.
He don't wanna be kept, don't keep him. He don't want the paper, then bitch, don't keep it. Ho, I don't get left, I'ma leave him. Hoes love me like Justin Bieber. Go mad, go mad, go mad, go mad, go mad.
Now my back's on the wall. Come pull me close to you. Rock me deep into the morning. Cause by sunrise I'll be gone. I wanna be leaving with someone. I'll be for a good time and you know we both want it. I like to sightsee, and if you invite me, I'll very likely pull up where you at. You got the right fee, or if you entice me, and other night, why is it this on your head? Staring at me.
Yeah, man. Nice and mellow. Just kind of strolling along in the early morning. Doing it nicely. It's Fantastic Friday on CKUW 95.9 FM on the dial in Winnipeg. Last week, I.
Can't play hard, no need no sponsor. Life of the party, girl, you're sweet like sugar. Put the S in a sexy girl, me love that figure. When you whine and go, don't come up and bend over. No, the party can't start till you there both, yeah. Sexy up, jacuzzi, poolside and sauna. Miss you when the party start and get the hot light for ya. Ooh, make the road boys and spend out no dollar. Girl, pretty in a face, them look fine and proper. Just to impress and every man admire. This ain't no low vibes, come make we lift this higher. Burn down the world club and set the roof on fire.
By the G code. What the fuck is Fleek though? Don't ask them, what do he know? What I forgot is better than whatever they remember. Never mind, I'm off it, it's quiet form. Time to put the temper tantrums to the quiet corner. Hush, that's enough, said the ruler. No suckers allowed to break bread or asunder. The daylight, lightning and the thunder. Sun, moon, stars and the hunger. Abundance in bundles, blessings in troubles. Towers and tunnels, views and valleys, waves and peaks. Streaks you from sun, planet Earth. And ain't scared of no Mars attack. What type of bars is that? Stay off my jack. I'm out there corny riot garments, top five. Dying on and on them, super fly, slicker top bro. Eagles diving on them. You why you lying, homie? You won't play with my emotions, Smokey. Big chief, heart rate, big beat, B-E-Y, I seen straight jacket come clean. Big said it was a dream, now it's a living thing. With you and living kings, I mean it, I mean.
Hi, I'm Dale Rufus, and you're listening to Fantastic Fridays on CKUW 95.9, my favorite Friday morning wake-up show.
This is for my city dwellers, my storytellers, my soundscapers, music makers, and my dreamers of dreams. This is for the beat layers, the street sayers, the graph writers, and the painters. This is for the crate keepers, the image freezers, the lens seekers, and the photogs. This is for the spinners, the rewinders, drop the needle, pull it back, and come againers. This is for the movers, the body users, the kinetic acrobatic defying gravity provers. This is for the filmmakers, the actors, the activators, my sculptors, and my cans. Sprayers. This is for the dubbers, the dancers, the scribers, the scholars. This is for the freestylers, my improvisers, my poetical, lyrical, spiritual vocalizers. This is for my speechifiers, for the visionaries, for the bridge builders, the chain breakers, the power takers. This is for the door crashers, my drum beaters, the call to action taker to the streeters. For my behind the sceners, my planners, my finders, our on task and right on timers. For our organizers, our survivors, our motivators, and our strivers. This is for the uplifters and our uprisers. advisors. This is for you, our ancestors. This is for you, our people blessers, our children, for our vision, for our villages, our hoods, our nations, our truths. This is for our culture, for our generation. This is for our creator and our creation. This is for our inner being and our outer, for our say it louder, big and prouder. This is for the art, for the word. This is for the sound. This is for the power.
Together, one voice saying, yes, we can. Each one, reach one till we pull ourselves up, cause we all one fam. From the rest to the block, to the prairie, to the rock, we connect that love. Cause the people with power feel the power of the people when we stand as one.
I got you stuck off the realness. We be indigenous, you heard of us. Max heaven, the murderer, spreading the love with the water and earth in the stand against hate. Gotta know what the purpose is. We rise, the climate is changing. Signs of the times, it's time to start praying.
Pray
for the world and community. Prayers are more powerful when we're in unity.
Today, hungry for a change, new path to take. Can't stay the same, it's been too long. Pointing out who's right or wrong. Can you hear me out? All we need is a little bit of love. Take time to heal, and it starts with us. Hand in hand, I put my trust in one world. Reunite, it's a must. Hold on to hope, we can overload. We can break the code with a single note. Sing out for the world to hear that our time is now, no more for tears. I looked into my son's eyes, a new day in a new light. Lift the veil and dwell so peaceful. Come together, one world, one peace.
I remember the days when our prayers were illegal. I remember the days when being Indian was lethal. Yeah, we had a rough past, but get ready for the sequel. Get ready for the glorious comeback of our people, oh yeah. Rise up, all you warriors of love, all you answers to the prayers of our ancestors from above. I can feel it in my heart, can you feel it in your blood? I can hear the seventh fire calling us to wake up. All nations rise, rise up, cause now's your time. We don't have to hide anymore, cause now's the time. All nations rise, rise up, cause now's your time. We don't have to hide anymore, cause now's the time. With forgiveness as my bow and my prayers as my arrows, pull them back and let go. I watch them fly like sparrows, have hope. Yeah, have hope. With compassion as my shield and faith down to my marrow, I will walk the pollen path even when it gets narrow. Yeah, yeah, I resurrect. Yes, you can bet that we seen the single mama raising children on the res. We seen domestic violence tear apart what we have left. We seen the alcohol take it all and leave us dead. We seen the children take their lives when they can't take the dread anymore.
It's a war.
Can't take the dread anymore.
It's a war. No, hey, you're listening to Fantastic Friday on CKUW 95.9 FM. Ka-chow.
quite an early morning session. Wake up. Keeping things going. Wake up. Strong. All the time. It's Fantastic Friday with Ross. We quite possible. The Princess Tim Sullivan, Queen Victoria, Dr. T. and John is here, but never here. But also here, time is Princess Rachel, and always here, this time, is Princess Catherine, keeping the song going. What a nice morning we had. Up and down, in rhythm, but always with a message. Here we are.
The world across the block, Kahay Belizea, away I get my chala. Who reporting live from the universe? It's the First Nations MC. You could do the search. Who been through the worst? Surviving genocide, fighting for a better life. They try to set aside the true history and keep us mystical. They say they founded this country on biblical principles. It's so cynical. But
coming up next, Prince Ugonna and the message.
India savages,
news and views that's from
written
Africa
in the Declaration of Independence. That's no kidding. Hey, open up your heart and let love lead the way. Light your path with the words that I speak today. Let the lessons flow, arrive, and bless your soul. Systematic racism alive, intentional. No better, do better, it's the motto. It's the good medicine, the hard pill to swallow.
Also coming up, better, do better, yeah, it's the Ibrahim motto. It's the good medicine, Sudan, the hard pill to swallow.
His daily life was filled with ceremony, and every act had some significance. The Indian believed in the spiritual, the mysterious.
Out. Watch out the kingdom out and the queen I come out patch out there, spread red carpet. One thing we have to tell on us, watch ya. Adam Mercy, watch me now. It name murder me wrote and me no take back me chat. Shuffle the deck, me and the queen in a the park. Look how me cute and sexy like that. And me plant the con, so no better watch that. Show me step up in a life, then what forgive me a fight.
Hi everyone, my name is Belaine Osman. I'm a student here at the U of W. My students actually call me Madame Oz. Just letting you know, CKUW has an awesome show called Fantastic Friday, and you guys should listen to it. Stay tuned.
Well, hear this. It's coming, it's coming. Listen carefully and you will learn.
Think you where you come from, as long as you're a black man,
a black woman or a black child.
No mind your nationality, you have got the identity
and perspicacity of an African.
Cause if you come from Clarendon,
it don't matter.
And if you come from Portland,
it don't matter.
And if you come from Westmoreland,
it really don't matter. Because coming to you all the way from West Africa in the country called Nigeria is the brethren called so Prince Ugonna to give you news and views from Africa. Prince Ugonna!
Yes, good morning, our speaker, and good morning to all of our listeners. Okay, do you keep on the good things from Africa? We go to Deir al-Bahala in the central Gaza Strip, where we get an update from Awad Damon of the humanitarian organization in Nara on the deteriorating conditions as Palestinians are slowly exterminated by disease and starvation caused by Israel's brutal siege. Listen in.
You think you can't get worse, and then it does. You think people, quite simply, could never cope with these deteriorating conditions, and yet somehow they do. It's a situation that they have been forced into. Arguably, the conditions when it comes to access of humanitarian organizations and our ability to distribute aid actually getting into the Strip, we're talking about the lowest levels yet. And this is exactly during the time frame that the U.S. had given to Israel to actually improve the situation. We've seen it getting significantly worse. We're not just talking about water shortage in things like flour, food, water, fresh vegetables, you know, hygiene kits. We're also talking about shortages in what's available on the commercial market. So even if you somehow had money to be able to go buy what you need, it quite simply isn't here. These hospitals that we keep talking about as being partially functioning, what does that actually mean? It means that if you show up bleeding, someone inside is going to try to stop the bleed. But do they actually have what they need to save your life? No. I was inside visiting some kids here at Aqsa earlier today and over the weekend. There's a little two-year-old boy here whose brain you can see pulsing through his skin. His skull bone was removed. This little boy was not stabilizing properly because the ICU was missing a pediatric-sized tracheostomy tube. Now, luckily, we were able to, you know, source some of them, and he has now stabilized, and he is off the ventilator. But this really gives you an idea of just how serious the situation here is. People are gathering to demonstrate for things like flour, for bread, for whatever it is that you can imagine. Winter is coming. The rains are coming. This means flooding is coming. And on top of just, you know, water flooding, we're also anticipating that the sewage sites are going to be flooding as well. Aid organizations need to be able to have the capacity and the ability to, you know, shift those sites to areas where they're not going to pose even more of a health hazard to the community. So, I mean, it's a complete and total nightmare. It's beyond being a nightmare. So if we're talking specifically about the north, the northern province of Gaza, this is an area where, you know, Israel launched its military operation there nearly 4 weeks ago. We have seen people repeatedly being forcibly displaced from their homes. There is very little access to medical assistance there. There has been absolutely no humanitarian assistance delivered there for about the last month. People are starving, they're dying, and it's not just bombs that are killing people, it's also disease. So when we look at the nature of what is happening in Gaza, you can't spend a day here, Amy, and not come away with the notion that you are witnessing a population that is being slowly exterminated. And I say slowly because, yes, bombs kill quickly, but disease and starvation, they are slow killers. And that is what a lot of people are facing here. And talk to anybody in Gaza, and there's absolutely no doubt in their mind that, one, they are living through their own annihilation, and two, what Israel is doing in the northern part is going to be repeated elsewhere. And this is also part of why you see a reluctance among the population to want to evacuate, because Gazans know, Palestinians know that when they leave, they're not going to be able to go back home. This is what history has taught them. And there is this very real ingrained fear among the population here right now that what they're going through at this moment is not the end. There is actually a real sense that the worst is yet to come. And they feel completely and totally abandoned by the international community, by global leaders, not to mention the United States. And everyone is convinced that right now Israel is going to have even more free rein to do whatever it is that it wants here. When you talk to people about what it is that they're going through, they do feel as if every single aspect of trying to survive here has been carefully orchestrated by Israel so that it is able to sort of meet America's bare minimum of standards, to allow America sufficient cover to say, oh no, there's improvement that's happening. And yet actually at the core of it is just another way to continue to kill the population. Yeah, and let's just look at the numbers. Let's just look at what happened when the U.S. started the clock for that 30-day deadline to improve humanitarian assistance. We saw very shortly afterwards the number of trucks accessing Gaza dip significantly, down to 30 a day, keeping in mind that one of the key demands that the U.S. had was that aid be increased to at least 350 trucks. So we saw this, you know, decrease consistent of roughly 30 trucks a day for most of the month of October. Now, in November, that number did go up to around 60, 70, but we're still talking about you know, falling extraordinarily short, providing, you know, barely 20% of what it is that the population here needs. We saw less access to these besieged areas in the north where people are effectively trapped or having to basically risk their lives. We've had numerous instances where aid has been delivered to the Kamar Ridwan Hospital in the north, for example, where shortly after medical evacuation teams have arrived there, there have been strikes. You have this very ingrained fear that exists among people right now, especially in the north, where some of them are saying, you know, don't deliver anything because right after you're delivering, strikes are happening. And just to illustrate how it is that we try to move, so if we're moving from, you know, south to north, for example, or even if we're moving within the northern areas, those movement requests have to be approved by Israel. And aid organizations are increasingly wary of moving around with what we call soft skin cars, basically your normal vehicle that we used to move around in, because of the increasing frequency of instances at Israeli checkpoints where aid convoys have been shot at by IDF troops after receiving the green light, the okay to cross through, which means that for a lot of aid organizations, movement is limited to those who have access to armored vehicles, vehicles that are more secure. And those don't really exist in Gaza in high numbers at all. And we're not allowed to bring in more to sort of beef up our capacity to be able to move around safely. I mean, no matter which way you look at it, Amy, you're constantly faced by numerous obstacles that don't need to be there. It feels very deliberate, not to mention the complete and total breakdown of security. Now we have numerous looting instances of aid trucks. We've repeatedly asked the Israeli side to be able to use alternative routes, to be able to use secured routes. Those requests are not being met. I mean, it's just, it's such an impossible situation to operate in. I feel like I keep saying the same thing over and over and over again each time I come in. And the words to demonstrate how much worse it's getting quite simply lack in our vocabulary.
This next piece is spoken by Baha Azmi, the legal director for the Center for Constitutional Rights, who represented the Abu Ghraib survivors. Quote, "This lawsuit has been about justice and accountability for three Iraqi men, our clients Salah, Suhail, and Assad, who exhibited just awe-inspiring courage and resilience." At the end of the piece, we hear an excerpt from one of the prisoners.
Yeah, this lawsuit has been about justice and accountability for three Iraqi men, our clients, Salah, Suhail, and Assad, who exhibited, I think, just awe-inspiring courage and resilience to fight for 16 years and get over every innumerable hurdle khaki threw in its way to deflect responsibility, to have their voice heard by a jury. And as you said, it's also the first time a jury has ever had really the opportunity to review and judge U.S. practices, in this case, on by a private military contractor, in the 20 years since 9/11, and despite the horrific number of abuses inflicted on many, many dozens of other torture victims.
I mean, Blackwater is a military contractor, very well known. Explain what CACI, or now known as CACI, mm-hmm. did.
Yeah, so
when was it?
In 2003, CACI was hired by the United States government under a lucrative contractor to provide, quote, expert interrogators in Abu Ghraib, and they sent a number of highly unqualified individuals. The two qualified people who were there actually were whistleblowers and told CACI that they were seeing abuses there and needed to leave. And then, as it turned out, in the kind of command vacuum that persisted in Abu Ghraib, it was the CACI interrogators who took control and ordered military police, including military police who were court-martialed and spent time in prison for the very abuses CACI ordered them to undertake, to, quote, soften up detainees, set the conditions, particularly in the night shift. And all our clients suffered the kinds of abuses you regrettably showed on the screen. Yeah, it was really remarkable and transformative testimony, because she's one of the co-conspirators who was taking direction from military intelligence, including CACI, to harm detainees. And she's somebody who expressed, like a lot of the MPs, just was broken by this experience. And what came out in the trial is military generals who investigated Abu Ghraib and documented sadistic, wanton, systemic abuses were outraged. The military police who were part of the CACI scheme were broken. And the only person who has never taken responsibility is CACI until now.
يعني قضايا التحقيق كانت التحقيق التي كانت تحدث كل يومين أو ثلاثة أيام يستمر التحقيق لساعة ساعة ونص.
These interrogations that happened every two or three days would last for an hour and a half or 2 hours in this manner. The details of the interrogations were different. In some cases they would bring dogs, then start the interrogation. In other cases they'd put you in a place and throw cold water or hot tea on you, then start the interrogation. But of course all the interrogations were conducted while you were kept naked and hooded, and they'd ask you questions to which you answer. I stayed for 40 days in a solitary cell, and 70% of that time I was kept naked.
This third piece in the acclaimed new book, Gaza Faces History, historian Enzo Traverso challenges Western attitudes toward Israel's ongoing genocide in Gaza by reckoning with the larger historical context of the Holocaust and the Nakba.
Yeah, I open my book quoting this great German writer, Wege Sebald, who pointed out how, at the end of the Second World War, Germans were silent about their own sufferings, which were uncontestable. So German civil society had been destroyed by the Allied bombings. But this silence was related to the awareness that when Germans suffered these war crimes, Nazi Germany was perpetrating the Holocaust and worse crimes in Europe, particularly on the Eastern Front. And well, at the end of the Second World War, the Nuremberg trial judged the Nazi crimes. And only many decades later, the German suffering during the Second World War were acknowledged without appearing as a kind of exculpation or of relativization of Nazi crime. Now we are facing a paradoxical situation in which the perpetrator is Hamas and the Palestinians, and the victims are the Israelis. And this is a reversal of reality. It's like a Nuremberg trial in which, instead of the Nazi crimes, were judged the Allied atrocities perpetrated by the U.S. and the U.K. aircrafts. Yeah, the memory of the Holocaust was subterranean, an underground, an occulted memory for decades after the Second World War. But through a very difficult and painful process of working through the past, the memory of the Holocaust became a central element of a pillar of the not only Western but global memorial landscape. We cannot think of the 20th century without locating the Holocaust at the center of this picture. And the memory of the Holocaust had, so I write in my book that became a kind of civil religion of our liberal democracies, and used in order to celebrate human rights and some fundamental values of our democracies. The Holocaust memory was extremely important as a kind of paradigm in order to elaborate the memory of other forms of violence and genocide. But during the last decades, I would say two last decades, the memory of the Holocaust experienced a paradoxical metamorphosis and was weaponized by Israel and by most Western powers in order to become a policy of an unconditional support of Israeli occupation of the Palestinian territories. And this has extremely dangerous consequences, because today we are facing a dramatic, a tragic situation in which the memory of the Holocaust is invoked and claimed in order to justify a war in Gaza, which is taking genocidal features. And this means that the memory of the Holocaust is completely perverted. And think of the possible consequences of that. Those who are protesting against this genocidal war are accused of anti-Semitism. But if the memory of the Holocaust is mobilized to defend unconditionally a genocidal policy, maybe people could think that the memory of the Holocaust is intrinsically bad. If criticizing a genocide is anti-Semitism, many people would think that anti-Semitism is not so bad. And finally, many people would start thinking that the Holocaust itself is a myth invented by Israel in order to justify its politics of occupation of the Palestinian territories and of oppression. So I worry that in the long view, maybe not immediately, but people who are claiming an unconditional defense of Israeli occupation and war in the name of the struggle against anti-Semitism and in the name of the memory of the Holocaust are preparing a new wave of anti-Semitism.
This last piece, Dine organizer Leona Morgan, who highlights the Holocaust and environmental contamination, particularly within and among indigenous communities in the Southwest United States. She talks about the uranium mining required to produce nuclear power.
So the first thing I want to say is that nuclear is not carbon-free. Nuclear is not carbon-neutral. Nuclear, it requires fossil fuels in order to extract the uranium mill it, process it, all of the steps before the nuclear power plant require some type of energy. And so it is not fueled by renewables or nuclear. It's fueled by fossil fuels. And they just simply don't count the carbon footprint before the nuclear power plant or after the nuclear power plant. So in the Southwest, we're dealing with thousands of abandoned uranium mines. We're dealing with a conventional uranium mill that's taking waste from as far away as Japan and Estonia because there are not enough properly licensed waste facilities. And the same with the high-level radioactive waste after the power plant. There are two proposals in the United States to store it in New Mexico and Texas, and we fought that and we won. However, the industry is taking that to the Supreme Court. So we don't know what will happen. Maybe in June we'll find out. Hopefully our victory stands. But again, the nuclear industry is inherently racist. All of these activities, they depend on uranium, which comes mostly from indigenous lands, not just in the United States, but even as we're talking, you can think about other countries, Australia. Our Don't Nuke the Climate Coalition includes several folks from all over the world. And I also want to highlight what's going on in Africa. There's only one nuclear power plant in Africa, and Coburg is also slated to be restarted because of this push for a so-called carbon-free energy future. And so I just want to make it clear that it's not carbon-free, and it depends on the resources from our communities resulting in various health, lots of health effects. So we haven't even begun to study all of the health effects, especially the genetic future. We know that it causes, besides cancers, autoimmune disease, kidney disease, things like that, also reproductive issues. And so we really need to do more studies on the impacts from drinking contaminated water, breathing contaminated air, and eating contaminated food. Well, going back to the beginning of colonization, I mean, I like to start with the doctrine of discovery. But from the 1872 mining law, which was created essentially to steal our land, we're still dealing with thousands of abandoned uranium mines, and there is absolutely no funding to clean these sites up. The United States, our taxpayer dollars are going to fuel not just this so-called nuclear renaissance or this nuclear revival, but also nuclear weapons. And so a lot of these so-called small modular reactors, they say they're going to power our communities, but a lot of it is going to be used for nuclear weapons. And so with that, we're dealing with, on Navajo Nation, where I come from, and most of the United States, we're downwind from over 900 nuclear tests from the Nevada site. So we're hit doubly with the nuclear weapons impact and then the nuclear power impact, because both of them require uranium. And so anybody living near abandoned uranium mines or anywhere there was uranium in the past are going to be threatened with new threats of new mining, new milling, new processing, and all the things that come with it, including the cancers, the contamination, and an unknown reproductive future.
Talk more about the uranium mines and what has happened to them.
So the uranium mines, especially in the Southwest, I'm going to focus on Navajo Nation. This is one place in the U.S. where they're kind of doing cleanup. Again, there's no funding for cleanup. We just lost what is called the Radiation Exposure Compensation Act, or RECA. And so the United States used to, since the 90s until just earlier this year, the United States provided some funding for compensation for people who worked in mines, only people who worked after 1971. And the eligibility is quite sparse. And so even RECA, people like Navajo miners claim that it is also racist, that they have not received the same amount of compensation as, let's say, non-Native or white miners. So what's happening in the country is there's no funding to clean up the abandoned uranium mines. And on Navajo, where there is some funding, not because the government is giving the funding, because the government is looking for responsible parties to sue. And if they're lucky enough to get some money out of those companies, then they can do what they consider cleanup. Cleanup is never done to community standards. So there are over 500 abandoned uranium mines on Navajo alone, some say up to 2,000. And if they're marked off or have a fence, that's great, because then people will know this is a contaminated place and not to build their houses there, not to plant food, not to play or work or pray in those areas. So a lot of these places are left unmarked with radioactive dust blowing around and getting into the water and our food sources.
Yes, I hear my sister, and I hear her loud and clear. I want to add to that the AI industry and all the other forms of, if you want to call it, advanced industries are looking for more and more uranium to power them. Make no mistake about the AIs and them. They need that kind of power, if you want to call it nuclear power, to help them produce and maintain themselves. So I'm glad to add that. So in addition to what we heard from my sister, where they're looking, they're going to war soon, so they're looking to build up a lot of nuclear weapons and activities. So we have to be clear of that. It's also nice to hear that, well, for most people, I think they are glad to hear that Benjamin Netanyahu has been, that there's a warrant out for his arrest. That means he could be picked up in any country or anywhere that he goes, as long as they allow for that pickup. As an addition, some of us think that they should also charge Biden and Kamala Harris for their participation in perpetuating that Holocaust in Palestine. Hold tight. Good morning, Ibrahim.
Good morning, Mr. Rico.
Hi, greetings to you. How are you?
Yes, I'm fine. As always.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you do your thing there. Thank you for coming forward and giving us that ability to share a lot of different things with people in the community.
Oh, that's great. Really, I want to say thank you for this opportunity. Thank you, you guys, always doing the best things for us. Yeah, yes, I'm going to give you some kind of update from Sudan. Since last Friday, the Sudanese problem between the invasionists and the Sudanese army and the foreign African troop enjoyed together with the Sudanese army. Yeah, it's no big event there or different. But the situation is still the same, but it's slightly just a little bit forward in the hand of the Sudanese army, because Sudanese army being able to control the many areas, I think I mentioned last week. And the same process is still continuing, like, for example, in the area of Sinjar, they just turning around all the city, and now they just moving forward in the entering in the city, because the Janjaweed, they hiding in the people's home, and the people is are building it, and the job of the Sudanese army and the foreign troop to go to build.